Let's come back to the book of Ezekiel. Chapter 25 to 32. Chapter 25 is a judgment to the Ammonite and Moabite and Edomite and the Philistine. And 26 to 28 is a judgment to Tyre and Sidon. The accusation of God to the chosen people was unfaithfulness, harlotry, or adultery. But the accusation of God towards the foreign nation mainly is pride. No, because they have no marital relationship spiritually with God. So there was no accusation of harlotry or infidelity. But in the eyes of God, they were very proud. There are several reasons that the Tyre and Sidon were proud. Yesterday we mentioned some of them. The first reason is because of wisdom. In chapter 27, verse 8. And the second reason, they have mighty warrior. In chapter 27, verse 11, in today's terminology, it means very capable. Wisdom means well-educated. And chapter 27, verse 25, splendors. Because of the a lot of commercial activity, so they enjoy a lot of abundant material things. They live a very luxurious life. That was the reason they feel very proud about themselves. So today is the same. Those who are more technology advanced or financial advanced or advanced living standard, always in the bottom of heart, there's a certain sense of pride hidden inside. How do we know? Because when we have the feeling of superiority, then that is a form of pride. Then when we start to have feeling that other people are inferior than us, then we are the person who have pride inside. So pride can be disguised in many different kind of ways. But essentially, they are the same thing, pride. The chapter 27, verse 25, is a pride. And but most serious pride was mentioned in chapter 28, the pride of Tyre. Chapter 28, let's come to chapter 28. Verse 2, a son of many said to the prince of Tyre, thus says the Lord God, because your heart is lifted up and you say, I am a God. I sit in the seat of gods and in the middle of the sea. Yet you are a man, not a God. Oh, what is the difference between man and God? Oh, there's a tremendous difference. The reason men consider themselves as God is because man does not really know God. If we really know who is God, then nobody dare to proclaim, I am God. And let's come back to, let us see one of a few verses in the book of Isaiah. Isaiah chapter 40. Isaiah chapter 40. Start from 12. Oh, there are many questions. Let us try to answer. Which question can you really answer? Isaiah chapter 40, verse 12. Who has measured the water in the hollow of his hand? Measure the heaven with a span and calculate the dust of the earth in a measure. Who? Nobody. Right? And this is created by God. So who are human beings? Weigh the mountain in the scale. Who can weigh the mountain? How many pounds? No way. And mountain was created by God. And the hill in the balance. Who can do it? No way. Verse 13. Who has directed the spirit of the Lord? Or as his counselor has taught him? You see, every president have a lot of what? Advisor, counselor. So the president was able to make a right decision. But when God created the universe, when God sustained the universe, who served as his counselor? The answer is nobody. No. None. Oh. Verse 14. And with whom did he take counsel? And who instructed him? And he taught him in the path of justice? Answer is nobody. No one. Who taught him knowledge and showed him the way of understanding? The answer is nobody. Now, verse 15. In the eyes of God, behold, the nations are as a drop in a bucket. The nation, or not a people, not you or alone, the whole nation are nothing but a drop in a bucket and are counted as small dust on the scale. Look, he lifts up the iron as a very little thing. Dust. Do you know the dust? Oh, among here. There are a lot of dust. Can you see it? You cannot see it. If there's a very strong bright light shine into the room, then through the very strong bright light, you are able to see a lot of dust. An old nation in the eyes of God is nothing but a dust. Oh, so God is so huge. Oh, compared with God, we human beings are so minute, so small. You look, right? From the earth, look down to, from the moon, look down to the earth is nothing but a size of a coin. And the size of coin, 70% covered by water, only 30% are land, right? And out of the 30%, right, how many billions of people living there? About 5 billion of people living there. So who are you? Oh, who am I? Who are we? So when human being proclaim, I am God, this is nothing but ignorant. Ah, am nothing but proud. Oh. And then you read next one. Chapter chapter 40 and chapter 41 all the same. You talk about we human being actually is nothing but a dust. Now, verse 22, chapter 40, verse 22. Is it he who sit above the circle of the earth? So before the science advanced, the Bible already says the circle of the earth. Earth is a round one, right? And its inhabitants are like a grasshopper who stretched out the heaven like a curtain and spread them out like a tent and who dwell in. So you can see, verse 23, he brings the prince to nothing, and he makes the judge of the earth useless. Also, chapter 40 mentioned a lot of how great the God is. So when we know God, then we know we are nothing but a human being. So let's come back to Ezekiel chapter 28. And why they become so proud? Verse 5. Ezekiel chapter 28, verse 5. By your great wisdom in trade, you have increased your riches, and your heart is lifted up because of your riches. So according to Jeremiah chapter 10, I think verse 10, people are boastful about three things. What are the three things? I think today is the same. Under the heaven, there's nothing new. People are boasting about themselves 1,000 years ago. The same today is the same thing. Jeremiah chapter 10, verse 23, and chapter 9, verse 23. Jeremiah chapter 9, verse 23. Thus says the Lord, let not the wise man glory in his wisdom, let not the mighty man glory in his might, nor let the rich man glory in his riches. So these three kind of person are so easy to boast about themselves. As what we mentioned, wise man means what? You know a lot. Somebody don't know it. You have very good academic study. That means you are a very wise man. And a mighty man means what? You are very capable when you work in a company, right? Because of your capability, your position keep on climbing higher and higher. That means the might. And then the rich means you have more and more money, riches. If these three put together, then it's difficult for a person to become humble. You're well educated in a company, you have very good position, and then what? You make a lot of money. It's very difficult to be humble. But unless one is humble, we cannot be close to God. Because when a person becomes proud, and the person actually in the bottom of heart try to take over the position of God. So how can God endure a proud person? Why Adam sinned? Eventually it's because the Satan told Adam, you eat this fruit, right? You are as smart as God. Why the angel sin? Because angel want to be the same with God. So proud is, pride is so destructive in our spiritual journey. And we all have certain type of pride hidden inside our heart. So only we can deal with the pride and really become humble and know who am I, then we are able to receive the blessing of God. Now, even though we don't know God, we still know we are not God. If you don't know the Almighty God, you still know you are not God. Why? Chapter 28. Chapter 28, verse 9. The fact of the lie will tell you, you are not God. Will you still say before him who slay you, I am God. Right? Hey, somebody holding a knife and put on your neck, right? Can you still say, I am God? If you are I am God, I just chop it off. Right? Are you a God? No, right? If you are God, you cannot control your life. Oh. So even you don't know there's a God in heaven, still you are not God. Why? Because a car accident hit and you die. You are God? Oh. So human being, we have to learn from the fact we are so tiny, we are so weak, we are nothing, we are not God. Be humble. Oh. Yes, you are young, you are energetic, you are smart, but you are not God. Oh. This is the fact we have to recognize. Only when we start to be humble, our spirituality can be advanced. If we cannot be humble, we are following the path of Satan. Oh. All right? So chapter 28 from verse 11 to 17. 11 to 17. There are two passages in the Bible being commonly used as the downfall of the angel to Satan. Even though there are different theories about where comes the Satan, right? But we still subscribe to the original thinking. Where comes the Satan? The Satan comes from the downfall of angels. So chapter 28 from verse 11 to 17, there's a double meaning. The first meaning is talk about tyrants who are very proud and been downgraded by God and being punished by God, become a desolation place. But also, chapter 28, verse 11 to 17 is talk about the downfall of the angel. So sometimes the Bible are serving the like a two-edged sword. From literal meaning, you can interpret in historical sense. From the spiritual meaning, you can interpret from the spiritual sense. The Bible have two way to interpret. Another passage in the Bible talk about the downfall of the angel. Can you find it in the book of Isaiah? Where in the book of Isaiah you can find the downfall? 14. Okay. Chapter 14, verse 12 to verse 14. Please count. Isaiah chapter 14, verse 12 to 14. Please count how many I. How are you falling from heaven, O Lucia, son of the morning? How are you cut down to the ground, you who weakened the nation? 13. For you have said in your heart, I will ascend into heaven. I will exalt my throne above the star of God. I will also sit on the mount of the congregation, on the farthest side of the north. And I will ascend above the height of the cloud, and I will be like the Most High. How many I? Five I. Oh. So how do you know? How do you know I'm a proud person or not? There are a few signs you can detect. The first sign is what? Yeah, feeling of superiority. The second sign is when you talk, you mention all the times I. When you talk about I, you are not talking the sin you committed. You are talking about your superior part, superior aspect. The third one, when a person become proud, the person very difficult to get along with. When a person very humble, it's very easy to get along with. So a proud person, you don't know how to deal with the person, right? Because the proud person needs your respect and needs your attention and needs... It's very difficult to get along. That this is a sign of the proud person.
Oh. Okay.
Now we come back to Ezekiel chapter 28. Verse 14. You anointed a cherub who covers. I establish you. You were on the holy mountain of God. You walk back and forth in the midst of the fiery storm. You were perfect in your ways from the day you were created till the iniquity was found in you. And then we see verse 16. By the abundance of your trading, you become filled with the violence within, and you sin. Therefore, I cast you as a profane things out of the mountain of God, and destroy you, all covered in chariot, from the midst of the fiery storm. 17. Your heart was lifted up because of your beauty. You corrupted your wisdom for the sake of your splendor. I cast you to the ground. I lay you before the king, and that your mind gaze at you.
Okay.
So this is the downfall of the angel, or the downfall of Tyre, in chapter 28. So God opposed those who are proud. God will bless those who are humble. So humility is a virtue. It's very important. Humility, be humble. This is the key to receive blessing from God. And how can we be humble? Just recognize I am nothing but a human being. Then you will be humble. But if we think I am God, then we cannot be humble. So chapter 28. The proclamation against the king of the tyrant. And 28, verse 20 onwards, is the number E, chapter 28, verse 11. Chapter 28, verse 11. Moreover, the words of the Lord come to sing. Chapter 28, verse 12. A son of man, take up lamentation for the king of Tyre, and say to him, thus says the Lord God, you were the seal of perfection. Full of wisdom and perfect in beauty. The reason Tyre become proud, this is one of very important reasons, right? You were the seal of perfection, full of wisdom and perfect in beauty. Perfect. Perfect. Perfect means no need to improve. Perfect means nobody can compare. Perfect means like a queen. Perfect. Everything is perfect. So in the world, if you are very outstanding, nobody can catch up your outstanding, that is very dangerous. It's very difficult to be humble. So the city of Tyre did have some condition which is superior than others. Because of the condition, it becomes the reason of the downfall of the Tyre. And chapter 26, verse 2, another reason Tyre was punished by God. 26, verse 2. Verse 1. And it came to pass in the 11th years on the first day of the month. And then the words of the Lord came to me, saying, Son of man, because Tyre has said against Jerusalem, aha, she is broken, who was the gateway of the people. Now she is turned over to me, and I shall be filled, and she is laid waste. So how come Tyre was punished by God? Because Tyre feel happy about the desolation of Jerusalem. So when somebody been punished by God, if you feel very happy, right, then that punishment will follow and will come to you. So the proverb says, 幸灾乐祸要受华. When somebody been chastised by God, you don't feel sad and pray for the person, you feel so happy, then you are sinful. You will be chastised by God too. No. Because this kind of act is a sign of having no love. So Tyre feel happy about the downfall of Jerusalem, and because of the downfall of Jerusalem, Tyre feel that it will make him become more famous. It will make him become more bountiful. So this is the reason God later on deal with Tyre. Then the corruption of Tyre, or the punishment, downfall of the pirate. Chapter 26, verse 7 and 21. It's talk about attack against the Babylon. Tyre was attacked by Babylon, not against Babylon. Attacked by Babylon. Chapter 26, verse 7. Chapter 26, verse 7. For thus says the Lord God, behold, I will bring against Tyre from the north Nebuchadnezzar, king of Babylon, a king of kings, with horses, with a chariot, and with the horsemen, an army with many people. God said, I will bring against Tyre. Who? The king of Babylon. So from this verse you know, history actually is under the guidance and direction of God. History actually is under control of God. Even the history today, you don't see God, but God is directing the history nowadays. So God asked, God arranged, and God want the king of Nebuchadnezzar come to attack Tyre, and the king of Nebuchadnezzar just do it. So we human beings, we are nothing but an instrument used by God. Okay. So that is chapter 26. And then chapter 27. Okay, chapter 26, the last verse. I will make you a terror, and you shall be no more. Though you were sought from you, will never be found again, said the Lord. So Tyre will disappear forever. Since God already decided, then it will be fulfilled. So God is the Lord of Lords. God has sovereignty. God has absolute freedom and absolute power to make his own decision. But once God makes the decision, nobody can turn over God's decision. And this is the God we worship. And chapter 27, verse 26 to 36. Verse 26 to 36 is talk about Tyre was overthrown and dismissed. So no longer exist. All the glory, all the might, all the wisdom, all God disappear. So not only a person should not be proud, a nation should not be proud too. any person, any nation being proud, eventually will be punished by God. So this is chapter 27 and 28. And chapter 29, if we go to the chapter 29, yeah, you can see God's hand in the history. And chapter 29, the first part, a proclamation against Egypt. Because Egypt considered themselves as a king, right? Egypt considered that they can control their own destiny. So God prophesied from verse 8. Therefore, thus said the Lord God, surely I will bring a sword upon you and cut off from you man and beast. I will bring a sword. And what was the sword? And the sword was Babylon. Oh, so Babylon actually so mighty. The king of Babylon so mighty. But actually, it had been used by God as a sword to punish the Egypt. And to destroy the country of Egypt. Verse 29:16. And no longer shall it be the confidence of the house of Israelite. Egypt will no longer become the reliance of the Israelite, but will remind them that their iniquity when they turn to follow Egypt, follow them. Thus said, they will know that I am the Lord God. When Egypt been destroyed, all of a sudden, Israelite found out. Originally, they tried to rely on Egypt to counter the power of Babylon. But right now, God already removed the Egypt. So, verse 17 to 21, chapter 29, 17 to 21. Babylon will plunder Egypt. Why? Why Babylon will plunder Egypt? Because 18, you look in the 18 and 19, the answer is there. Son of man, Nebuchadnezzar, king of Babylon, caused his army to labor strenuously against the tyrant. Every head was made bald. And every shoulder rubbed raw. Yet neither he nor his army received wages from Tyrant. Because Nebuchadnezzar has been working so hard, right, to fulfill God's purpose, but they received nothing. So God wants to give them something. What is something? Verse 19. Therefore, thus says the Lord God, surely I will give the land of Egypt to Nebuchadnezzar of Babylon. He shall take away her wealth, carry off her spoil, and remove her pillage, and that will be the wages for his army. So God will never use a person in vain, right? So Nebuchadnezzar been used by God, and God give Nebuchadnezzar Egypt, all the wealth, all the good things, become a compensation, a wage. So God is like a human being, very interesting, right? So chapter 29. So we know everything is under the control of God. Human history are under the guidance of God. So how can human being say, I am God? And then chapter 30, talk about Egypt and her alliance will fall. This is prophesied. Egypt one day will fall. And then verse 20. Proclaim against Pharaoh. And it come to pass in the 11th year, the first month on the 7th day of the month, that the words of the Lord are come to me, saying, Son of man, I have broken the arms of Pharaoh, king of Egypt. I have broken, complete tense. 完成事已经完了, I have broken, right? And when God said, I have broken, then what happened? Later on, the Nebuchadnezzar come and attack them and kill them. So to God, it's already completed. Since it's already completed, it definitely will be happen. So when God told to Joshua, right, I already give this land to you. To God is a complete tense. But to Joshua is a future tense. Joshua fight, and eventually occupy the whole land. So when God said, I already give it to you, that means definitely you are going to have it. So God has absolute authority to give whatever he wants to give us. If you find favor with God, God has absolute authority to give whatever he wants to give you to you. So chapter 30, verse 24 to 26, especially 24. I will strengthen the arms of the king of Babylon and put my sword in his hand, but I will break Pharaoh's arm. So the reason Nebuchadnezzar become so strong, because what? God strengthened the arms of the king of Babylon. So why today United States become so strong? Don't be mistaken. And credit to which president are credited to the forefather. No, it is because God wants United States to be strong, then it become strong. Maybe God used the hand of the United States to break the hand of other nation. God has his own plan. We don't know. But actually we know even the United States is under God's control, will be used by God as an instrument to fulfill God's will. But if the United States is proud about itself, then God will deal with this country again. So history, actually, under the sun, there's nothing new. History just repeats the same thing. And 31, this talk about Egypt cut down like a great tree. The first part talk about Assyrian, the beauty of Assyria. God told Pharaoh the beauty of Syria. But because of pride, all the beauty will be gone. Assyrian eventually will be gone either. And verse 18 onwards, verse 18 is talk about Egypt will be broken too, because Egypt was proud too. And chapter 32, the lamentation for Pharaoh and Egypt. Because for a period of time, Egypt was very strong. The Israelites tried to rely on Egypt, but one day Egypt will be broken. How can Egypt be broken? Verse 11 to 16. For thus says the Lord, the sword of the king of Babylon will come upon you, by the sword of the mighty warrior, most terrible of the nation will come your multitude to fall. So how can Egypt be broken, been defeated by the hand of Babylon? So 17 onwards, from chapter 32, 17 onwards, then Egypt and the others consigned to the pit, they all will fall into the pit. They all will be ruined. So from chapter 26 all the way to chapter 32, you can see the judgment against the various kingdoms, the various nations. And the end of the judgment bring them destruction. So this is what we can learn from the book of Ezekiel. Do you remember the vision in the book of Daniel, right? There was a huge statue. The head is what? The gold. And then what? The silver and bronze and iron and half iron and half clay. And there was a huge stone come down from heaven and smashed the whole statue. What does that mean? This means the human history. From the Babylon, very strong, right? All the way down to have iron, have clay, have democratic country, and have communist or dictatorship countries that mix together. And a huge stone, Jesus is coming, and all the human history will be smashed, will be finished. So there will be end of the human history. So nobody is a king. Nobody is God. If we are God, the human history will never end. So we know from the history, we have to respect God and give him glory. Let's pray in silence. Amen. We rest.
Sorry.